Parkus, feel free to start recording.
What's the buzz?
Yep, we're good.
Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. Hang on, Lord. We're going to fight for you. Hang on, Lord. We're going to fight for you. Hang on, Lord.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We are back. It's the fall. This is technically an Eastern Conference preview podcast. That's what Andrew Hahn has designated this episode to be, but I am under no obligation to follow those rules. I want that to be known off the bat. We are in Los Angeles. We are all in the same room. That's always a positive. Joining us from Oklahoma City, which I don't think is in the Eastern Conference, Andrew Hahn, is Royce Young.
But I'm here. Andrew Hahn asked me to be on here. I responded to the email.
And he's got his on button on, so everyone can hear him.
Thank goodness.
Jackie McMullen, that's the voice of Jackie McMullen. I mean, at least she's an Eastern Conference gal. You've been an Eastern Conference woman your entire life.
Did you just call me an Eastern Conference gal?
Yeah.
I'd like to say a word for the Cowboys. What are you doing, man?
And I think this is our first appearance on the Hoop Collective for Malika Andrews.
It is.
Oh, hooray. Welcome.
Was based in Chicago, which last time I checked was in the Eastern Conference, but now will be based in the heart of the Eastern Conference in New York City.
Heart of the Eastern Conference. I like it.
Moving back to New York, where you lived before you lived in Chicago.
Correct. I only lived in Chicago. It was like a flash in the pan, 15 months.
But you lived
months.
Partially last year in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. No, my primary residence mailing address said the Milwaukee Marriott, for
okay.
sure.
Can I tell you, having just come back from China, if I was a Bucks fan, I would not have been encouraged by the performance of my Bucks, because Giannis was not good. Chris Middleton was not good, and Brooke Lopez was awful.
Yeah, far from good.
Awful. So just maybe it means nothing. I'm not saying that it means anything.
But I think it's definitely going to be interesting. It's interesting what you said about Brooke Lopez, too, because is Brooke Lopez best when he's in the Bucks system?
Probably. And that's where he's going to be. That's where he's going to be. I had a Chinese, he's a wonderful man. He spoke tremendous English, basketball fan, but not an NBA fan per se. And he was with me all 3 weeks, and like 2.5 weeks in, I told him how much Brooke Lopez had signed for this summer. I said, yeah, he just signed for $52 million. And he's a very mild mannered guy, but he was quite surprised.
Plots.
And then I told him what Middleton signed for. Now Middleton had a couple of good halves, but they were like counting on him to be their guy off the bench. And look, it doesn't matter. I mean, Ricky Rubio was the MVP. I don't think Ricky Rubio is going to come over and be an all-star, but, just saying, if you were a Bucks fan, Giannis completely he looked miserable. It looked to me like he hated it. I have no idea, Malika, because he refused to speak in English.
Well,
to any media outlets for weeks on end.
Do we need to get like a translation app or something? He tried to teach us a little bit of Greek last year, but I don't think it was any words that are appropriate to go on record with. So.
Why did he do that?
He didn't talk for days and days and days. He didn't even talk to the Greek media.
Well, but that's not necessarily all that different from how it is for him in the regular season. He's not necessarily known as being the most available superstar. It's part of his...
Well,
persona?
When they played the United States, it was an 11 or 12-point game. Maybe it was a 13-point game. And going into the fourth quarter. And he did not play in the fourth quarter because he was saving himself for 2 days later when they had to play a game. They knew that I guess he waved the white flag. Wasn't like this was the dream team, but he decided that whatever it was, 12 or 13 points, maybe it was more than that, maybe it was 18, I don't know. He didn't play in the fourth quarter, and he didn't answer for it. I had to get the translation from the coach through the Greek media, and I can't even say for sure it's an accurate translation, but that he had to save himself for the next game, because the next game they had to win by 12 points to have a chance to advance. The next game was not in 2 hours, the next game was in 2 days. And he fouled out of that game, the play he fouled out on was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. So I could understand why he would not be thrilled, but,
I'm sorry, Brian, China's not in the Eastern Conference.
We're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, I will say this, Brian. At the end of the season, Mike Budenholzer, the head coach of the Bucks, said that while it's a great honor to represent your country, one thing that he was a little bit concerned about with the league getting blown wide open, with the Warriors potentially being dismantled at that point, and obviously that did come to fruition with a lot of free agency moves being foreshadowed, that he was a little bit concerned with how Giannis's tendency to want to play 110% all the time in the months that he should be resting. And that's a back and forth that Bud has had with Giannis a lot. We need you to save yourself a little bit. We need you to dial it down a little bit. Giannis was not a player that has bought into this load management. And so maybe playing a bit of devil's advocate and also maybe a Giannis advocate here, maybe that was smart on his part to not be 120%.
Well, I can verify that he did not play at 120%.
There you go. Now, whether or not that does translate to the Bucks being able to be the team that comes out of the Eastern Conference is a different story. But if they are able to do that, and we go back to say, okay, in China he kind of toned it down, in Australia, that would be.
Well, he would have needed to play like 180% for Greece to actually do anything in the tournament. So he. Probably
oh man, they had Thanasis. He could have been like 175.
Well, so I just why go
By the way, Thanasis did have moments where he played pretty well, actually. Yeah.
But why go unless you're going to play?
Well, Andrew was getting upset. Jackie, we're talking about the World Cup. I didn't want.
Well,
to
none
World
of
Cup.
Us wanted to. Ryan, you started.
Yeah, you
this.
Brought
I just
it up.
Wanted to talk about the Bucks.
Okay.
You just wanted to mention that you went to China.
No, Brian, you went to China. You saw the Great Wall. I was interested in hearing about that.
Did you eat any good food over there, though?
I'm not allowed to talk about China on this podcast.
Okay, sorry.
I'm not talking
China's
about the Eastern
Conference.
Did you feel like the Bucks' offseason moves gave themselves the best chance to win it this time around, now that the Eastern Conference has changed dramatically?
It's tough. I mean, so if we look at what the Bucks did, they signed Chris Middleton to a max contract.
Slightly less, but essentially the max.
Slightly
yes.
less. The big shift in their starting lineup is they will no longer have Malcolm Brogdon. He signed with Indiana. And frankly, for the amount of money he signed with, it made sense why the Bucks said, you know what, look, we can't afford to be
But that's paying. A considerable loss.
It is a considerable
that. Major.
Loss. Yeah. And the last thing I look at is their bench, because last season in the playoffs, the Bucks bench is what made them, in the Boston series, it's what was able to kind of lift them when Eric Bledsoe wasn't playing at his best, when other people weren't. So they brought back George Hill. They brought back Pat Connaughton. They lost Nikola Mirotic. But as a whole, I think, and they signed both Lopez brothers are now on the Bucks team. But as a whole, it is hard for me to say that this team is stronger than the Bucks team last season, especially when you look at the other Eastern Conference teams and what they have added, namely Philly. It's going to be tough for Milwaukee. That being said, I had a conversation with the Bucks player last week who told me that if they don't make it to the finals this year, he believes that that would be an utter disappointment of a season.
I would agree with that.
I think that's
Andrew, should I talk about how Ersan Ilyasova played?
He actually played very well. Too bad he didn't play very well for the Bucks.
He played well against the U.S.
And we know
because he was playing against Brook Lopez. Actually, he wasn't playing against Brook much. Actually.
Speaking of that depth, Malika, do you feel like they're kind of a team ripe to kind of do a Raptors and make that kind of unforeseen midseason trade, like the way the Raptors did with Marc Gasol? Nobody would have anticipated something like that, but then, you know, it's February and they're like, okay, let's reshuffle the deck a little here.
Yeah, and I think that John Horst has proven that he would do something like that, even with some of the moves that they made at the trade deadline last year. I do think that that's something that I would not be surprised at all to see, especially if they're looking around and saying, look, it looks like people are nipping at our heels, mm-hmm. other teams are nipping at our heels, and we need to separate ourselves. But the other thing I'm interested with the Bucks this year is they've never really played with this air of expectation. They've kind of always been playing with house money, and now all of a sudden they are the Eastern Conference favorites. They have something on the line with Giannis's free agency or him being able to sign a supermax coming up. So that's another thing for them is how
they're
is
on the
that
clock.
It's only
they're on the
like
clock. They're on the clock.
It's only like the tipping point for this supermax system. We've had a couple of guys take it. We've had so many guys turn it down.
Right.
And it was designed essentially for this exact
I think we don't even need to wait to see what Giannis has done. It hasn't worked.
Well, I think if Giannis stays, and the other thing is, like, I know for a fact that in the summer when the tampering stuff was raging, it was the Bucks who were raising their hands saying, hey, we're a little bit concerned about this tampering because our guy's next up and we'd really like Team X to not tamper with our guy. So the Bucks are concerned about it.
Well, they should be concerned because Malika wrote an excellent story at the end of the series last year that outlined some of the things that they need to consider, some of the things that Giannis has every right to consider as he moves forward with his career. Is this team going in the right direction? They laid an egg in the conference finals. There's no other way to say it. Eric Bledsoe did not play well. Eric Bledsoe really hasn't played well in a postseason for the Bucks yet. Brogdon was someone, you know, he was injured last year, but he seems so redoubtable to me. I'm with you, Royce. I just thought that was a big loss, and I understand the money. But so maybe I'm the only one that thinks this, but I would have had to swallow really hard to pay Chris Middleton that money.
I didn't think they had a choice because I talked about this in the past. We all know that to establish your value when it comes to salary, there has to be somebody else that is willing to offer you that money. However, sometimes in the NBA, especially with teams in the Bucks position, his leverage is the fact that he can't be replaced.
Okay.
If Chris Middleton walks to the Lakers or whomever,
right,
they have no functional way to get Chris Middleton.
But right. And but so, I would argue the same is true of Brogdon. Now they signed Wesley Matthews, who, you know, I mean,
that was a nice pickup.
It was a nice pickup. I like Wesley Matthews. But what Brogdon did for you was he scored off the dribble. He took the ball the hole off the dribble.
Managed the game for them in so many ways.
They did get a couple of draft picks for Malcolm Brogdon, which they could flip, as you mentioned, because they had, Malika, how many picks have they traded away? Last year during the season, they traded away
quite a few.
At least one first, maybe two first to get off salary.
Yeah.
And then they traded four second round picks for, they didn't have an extra supply of picks. So I will say that, you know, let's see what happens.
But and every move they make is within the context of Giannis's future.
For sure.
I mean, that's just everything they do. And so you let Chris Middleton walk and he's going, wait a second.
Yeah.
Like, you just damaged my contender.
And yeah, but you let Malcolm Brogdon walk and nobody.
Well, that's a fair point.
Here's the other thing with Malcolm. Is that this is, remember, it feels like Malcolm, to me at least, it feels like Malcolm has been in the league for a long time. He hasn't. This was his opportunity to get paid. This is his time to get paid. If he wasn't going to get paid this contract, this is when it was his to make the money. And so, what was it, 85 to, Indianapolis? So, I mean, to compute the numbers for the Bucks, they would have had to make
It was understandable from the
cuts.
Bucks side.
No, we knew
to make choices. And Giannis has said in the past, because when you're looking at, okay, how do we appease Giannis? How do we keep him happy? How do we put a cast around him that he feels like he can win with? He said in the past, he knows that he's not going to stand in the way. If this is his opportunity to see his friend and teammate get paid, he's not going to go to bat saying, don't do this. Take a pay cut and stay.
I think that's true, Malika, but I think the one thing is, it seems like they chose Bledsoe over Brogdon.
And that, yes. And I mean,
ding, 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 ding.
And even also, and or what Bledsoe got, $70 million in the winter of last year, set the price for Malcolm. So when they paid him 70, effectively, you knew that Malcolm was going up to that 80.
I think
and
if John Horst
was there. I was in Milwaukee the day that happened. I happened to be in Bud's office talking to him for something I was working on. And I said to him, $70 million for Bledsoe? Like, I was kind of incredulous. And he said, I know your view is from the series in Boston the previous year, in which he was just horrible and he lost his composure and everything. He said, he's come so far for us, you don't understand. Go back and look at his defensive numbers. And Bud was right about that. His defensive numbers were excellent.
If John Horst were here, he would probably say it's only $53 million, I believe, guaranteed, whereas Brogdon's is much more guaranteed. So
I'm just asking you, going forward, if it's me, I would rather have Brogdon.
If there was a choice between the two, I agree.
There's a health concern on both of them. Brogdon with his feet. Okay, so Malika, you mentioned that the Bucks are the favorite. Do you believe that the Bucks are the favorite?
I think you could make an argument for the Bucks and for Philly, but yes, I do think that they're the favorite.
Jackie?
And I do think they'll be a disappointment if they don't make it out of the East.
Do you think they're the favorite?
They should be the favorite. They were the number one defensive team. They have the best young player in the game. But the one thing that about the Sixers that you looked at and you thought, they just don't defend well enough. Well, that is not going to be a problem anymore. Because you've taken away Boston's best and most valuable defender in Al Horford, and you've now put him on the Sixers. So he does a bunch of things happen there for you. Number one, you can stagger Embiid now. You actually have someone who can come
for
in
sure.
and play for Embiid.
Yeah.
And, or you can play them
and
alongside
one another. And you're protected if Embiid misses
no, that's
15
it.
Games, too.
So, you know, this is a team that I think was in, like, 15th or so. I don't have in front of me. 14th or 15th in defensive rating. That number is going to soar. So not only did you strip the Celtics of someone vitally important, you have added someone that is calm, that's a veteran, that's, you know, we love to call him a Swiss Army knife, that can stretch the floor, shoot the three, but most importantly is not Anthony Davis in that he will play the five. And you can sit and be down and get him some minutes and not lose much when Al Horford's on the floor.
Mm-hmm. So what did you think about Philly's summer overall, their decision to let Jimmy
go? I was surprised Butler went and Tobias stayed. I was surprised about that. I spent a lot of time with Philly in the postseason. If I had a quarter for every time Joel Embiid said to me, Jimmy's our closer, I know I can't be the closer. It's not the role a big man can play in today's NBA. I'm so glad we have him. He's the toughest guy I've ever played with. And they had their ups and downs, for sure. But Butler wanted to get paid, right? He wanted to get paid. And I would have taken Butler over Tobias Harris. That's me.
It was interesting that loss to history was Jimmy's performance in Toronto in Game 7.
No, Jimmy Butler had an unbelievable playoff run with Philly. They were all looking to him. And he's crazy. We know that, right? He's emotionally unstable sometimes. He'll tell you that himself. I'm not telling you.
You're right.
You know, he admits to that. But he understood that this was his window of opportunity to change the story about him, because he was on his last chance in many, many ways. But then he started playing like he did, and all of a sudden there were many chances for him. Because when he's right and when he's playing the way we know he can play, he's a bulldog defensively, but also offensively, he makes plays. He's not afraid. And there are so few guys like that that are not afraid of the moment. He craves the moment.
Well,
and the Sixers needed someone like that. And I don't know, is Tobias Harris a guy that craves the moment? I don't know.
I will say that Josh Richardson is a nice pickup. That's a move that not many people, I think, and they look at the scheme of the summer. He is not Jimmy Butler, but he brings stuff to the table. The question, of course, is, okay, you mentioned how they're going to be better on defense, and boy, can they deploy
team all length.
Right.
So
who takes a shot, though? Who takes the shot in the final seconds of the game?
But that's the question. Is the upgrade in defense
right. worth it? Because Redick's gone, too, remember?
That was, that's what, that doesn't.
And they were short on shooting even with
and
him.
They were short on their bench depth, too. Mm. They were short on their non-star players. And when you look at that team all length that's going to be coming out, where is the space and the shooting coming from for Joel Embiid now? Without J.J. Redick, without, they traded Robert Covington and Dario Saric.
T.J. McConnell.
Yeah. So this was a system where their shooting was, their offense was predicated on it, right? In order to create that space for Joel. And Ben Simmons is going to be on the floor for them all length. And he's not a shooter.
Haven't you seen his summer videos, though? I mean,
my bad. Just... You're right. Instagram. Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
If it's online, that's
true. I saw a video in an empty gym of him making jumpers.
They must really believe in Tobias Harris. And listen, I'm not rooting against Tobias Harris. He's a nice player. He is. He's a nice player. But he's a nice player. Jimmy Butler was not a nice player.
I mean, to me, it's like
kind of player.
I agree. I think Tobias Harris is a great player. He's also 26, 27? What is this, his fourth team, fifth team?
Everybody says that they love Tobias and then they trade him.
I know. It's like, you know, if he was more than a nice player, this wouldn't be his fifth team or whatever.
It's like Avery Bradley. Everybody loves Avery Bradley, so then they trade him for cap space or whatever.
You're right.
I mean, I love Avery Bradley. He's a nice kid. He can defend. He never defended as well as the numbers said he did, because as we know, you have to be careful with analytics. Mm-hmm. Is on the, I don't know why we're talking about Avery Bradley all of a sudden, but just, I guess I'm just trying to make a point. I guess what I'm trying to say is his on the ball defense was one thing. His off the ball defense was another. So Tobias Harris, I don't have the breakdowns. I promise I will next time I do this podcast. And yeah. I don't want to beat up Tobias Harris.
No, he's a very good player.
I just think there's going to be a lot.
Can score 30 any given night.
I just don't think he's Jimmy Butler.
Is he going to take the shot at the end of the game and be really comfortable?
I mean, I have to assume that
it's like Chris Middleton. Like, I had my doubts about Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton is low key clutch. Like, he is a low key clutch player, I will say. From watching
that in the play. There's so much of it is you just don't want guys that are like, is this okay? Is it okay if I shoot this one? And like, there's those guys like Jimmy Butler is like, I don't care what you think, I am going
to
shoot it.
You have to assume that Philly went through exhaustive discussions, analysis.
Yes.
To decide
which one to keep.
So, my question, Brian, is that this is ostensibly Joel Embiid's team, right? Did Philly put the pieces around him, because we know big men have smaller windows in their prime, etc. Did they put the pieces around him to maximize his abilities?
I don't look at this. You're talking about Milwaukee not being better than last year. I question whether Philly is better than last year.
I think you're underselling Horford.
I think you are too.
I
think he's going to have a great influence on Embiid. I really do.
I just question.
That's a good way to say it. I just question it.
Speaking of Horford.
Han is saying no one's even said the name Ben Simmons yet.
Yeah, you guys have talked for...
I was
Oh, thank you.
Gosh, back away from the microphone, Han.
You're much like any other podcast listener
Ben Simmons, all jokes aside about the Instagram stuff, I think he's going to surprise people.
I'm going to bring back a classic Hoop Collective line here. It'll explode over the top of Malika's head, but...
It's all right. I like it that
way. Do you know what the Ben Simmons max contract extension is?
A lot of money. That's all I know.
It's Andrew. It's betting on the come. It's betting on the come. It's an old school NBA phrase. It's a reference
Excuse
to
me?
Craps, not a reference to anything
okay.
else.
It's a reference
Everybody
to
got craps.
No one says it anymore, Brian.
Everybody got real quiet there, Brian. We were waiting for the explanation.
As the resident millennial, I will tell you that belongs on a dirty, dirty website, not
it's a reference to craps.
We're going to sue you for sexual harassment.
Yeah.
It's not the same wager, but it's the same wager that the Minnesota Timberwolves made with Andrew Wiggins. I'm not saying they're the same player. What it is you're giving a guy a contract that he's not there yet, but you're betting.
Yeah, there's a tangible upside to Simmons, though. I think in a way that Wiggins didn't possess.
You have to do that.
I agree.
You have to.
I mean, the best version of Ben Simmons is maybe the best player in the NBA. Like the very best version of him.
That's why they signed him to it, but they are not signing the player that he is today.
No, that's true.
They are wagering on the player that he is.
Well,
it's just
like Toronto. That's what they'll do with Siakam, too.
They're going to have to be dragged into that one.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if they don't give him the max, they're going to have to give him a lot of money based on what's going to happen next, not exactly what's happening now.
I go back to one of the all-time moments of this. Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay was 4 years into his career, and the Memphis Grizzlies gave him an $80 million contract. And he spent the entire 5 years of that contract, teams trying to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're in the same situation with Andrew Wiggins.
Andres Beendrens.
Where now they would love to get out of it.
I mean,
keep going. Yeah, I mean, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
He got another, that was another one that I had to tell my cameraman about. There's a lot of guys who had contracts there. actually, Harrison Barnes played pretty well. He just was very surprised what he signed for.
No one is available to take your call.
Just like the NBA offseason, hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura COO Dylan Miskowitz needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified candidates. No kidding, he was having trouble. Enter who, Andrew Hahn?
ZipRecruiter.
That's right. He switched to ZipRecruiter. Wherever he was using before, didn't have that many director of coffee candidates. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you, which is something you need when you're looking for this type of job. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job, so you get those qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. I would be impressed if I had any candidates apply for that, frankly. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder the 4 or 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You need a coffee director? Bam. One day, you got him. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/collective. That's ZipRecruiter.com/collective. Andrew, how do we spell collective?
COLLECTIVE.
That's right, ZipRecruiter.com/collective, because ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
Brian, where's Cafe Altura?
I don't know, but they've got a brand new director of coffee who I hear is fantastic.
Hello, no one is available to take your call.
So, speaking of Al Horford in Boston, when I was in a certain event over a 3-week span in a certain country that I'm not allowed to talk about, there were 4 Boston Celtics there, Jackie. We got a very up-close look at them. They love Kemba. They love him. And it's a double-edged thing because, like, when you talk – Jaylen Brown refused to talk about the past. He was like
– smart man.
That was then. This is now. We are artists painting a new painting. Not
Wait,
last year's painting.
That?
Yes.
It's a
yes.
good answer.
He said that going full Mark McGuire now what Mark McGuire said.
Right.
He said it a little more artfully than that. It's a new year. It's a new canvas is essentially what he said. It's a double-edged thing because they're talking about how much they like Kemba, but it's also kind of a way of saying, you know, we really didn't like Kyrie. And but here's the thing, Jackie. Here's what I feel. Kemba is going to be so popular in Boston.
He already is.
He's magnetic. His game is electric. He is going to win them games.
Takes care of the ball.
Yes, he's smart. He's low maintenance. He stays healthy.
He does. Small, but no one cares.
Knock on wood, but he doesn't miss games.
Makes big shots.
Tries to defend. I mean, at least he tries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, that was one of the things that the Celtics players even said. I think Marcus Smart said, I didn't know he defended like this.
Yeah. Gets after it. It doesn't always work because of the
just
size.
Kemba, 6'1" or whatever.
Kemba is going
tough.
To be a home run in Boston.
Yep.
But I do not believe that when it really matters, he's going to be able to deliver at the highest level. I think the size is a big factor. And so I don't think he can be the best player on the team. Whereas Kyrie, I think, saw himself as the best player for sure.
You think? I mean, actually a genius when it comes to the game. That was a direct quote.
It is going to have to be Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is going to have to do it. That's my analysis from having watched them very closely over the course of a month.
Well, I mean, it's funny because obviously everyone in Boston knew for quite a while before it actually happened that Kyrie wasn't sticking around. And there was a unanimous feeling in the city among the fans and I think some of the team members from front office on down, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Now, I always thought that was a bit flippant for a guy that's as talented as Kyrie, who was voted, I think, by 92% of his teammates as having the best handle in the NBA, who has hit big shots, as we know. We don't need to rehash the whole Kyrie experiment in Boston. But the bigger loss was Horford. And I know that sounds crazy because Kyrie Irving's going to be a Hall of Famer. And Horford, I don't know if he is borderline. Interesting question. Another day, another podcast. So probably not, by the way. But in terms of what they were doing and everything they do is predicated on defense. They've been a top 10 defensive team for a while now. Once they got pretty good. I mean, the early bad Brad Stevens teams, forget it. But that's their identity. And you lost your 2 best interior defenders in Horford and Aron Baynes. And that loss will be felt more than the loss of Kyrie because Kemba's skill set matches up to Kyrie to some degree. I mean, Kyrie's more talented. I think we'll all agree that. Mm-hmm. But the positive vibes may outweigh some of the actual athletic ability and talent, sure. Right? Leadership is a big thing. He'll supplant Kyrie the first day with his leadership style. He's already done it in that country you're not allowed to talk about.
Also in that country, Aaron Baines shot 53%. Now, it's a shorter line. It's a shorter three-point right. line. When Australia played against France, the team that the United States was eliminated by, Aaron Baines made 5 threes on Rudy Gobert.
No, that doesn't surprise me at all. It really doesn't.
Losing Baines, you just mentioned losing. I don't want to make the, you know, I don't want to focus too much. Losing Baines was a real loss. Not only was he great,
seriously.
Defender. When he was hurt last year is when they struggled defensively.
His defensive rating was one of the top defensive ratings in the entire league, but I just don't think he had enough minutes to, or games.
He is now shooting threes.
And he was last year for the Celtics, and he was having some limited success. I don't have the numbers again in front of me.
He made 21. I looked it up.
Okay.
The reason I know it's off the top of my head is because he was so damn good in the World Cup. He made 4 threes in his whole career before last season. He mm-hmm. made 21 last season.
Yeah.
It's not a lot. You know.
No, but because he got hurt.
But you're a threat
hurt from
when you,
4 to 21. But he was also hurt. He was hurt mm-hmm. a ton last year.
But in the World Cup, which I think he played 6 or 7 games, maybe mm-hmm. 7 games, maybe 8 games. I think he made like 16. No. So he's going to. They gave up a guy who was a really good modern big man, and they did it kind of underhanded. I mean, look, they did what they had to do. Like he opted in because he wanted to be there, and then they traded him. But whatever.
Well, but I think. I can't speak to that, and I'll maybe someday I can. There's a story behind that. But
okay.
Anyway. So the way I look at the Celtics now is, they have Cantor. So I think we all, if you're an ESPN Real Plus Minus fan, you know that he finished second to last, I believe.
I stand for Enes Kanter though.
Yeah. No.
He's a great guy.
I love him.
Kanter, I do too. And I think what Kanter, we saw he could defend in the mm-hmm. postseason.
He tries.
He does.
And he tries.
That's sustainable there. But here's the thing he does as a former rebounder that I am so happy to tell you. He gets after it on the offensive end better mm-hmm. than probably any big man in the league.
He's one of the greatest offensive rebounder. I don't want to say NBA
without
history.
Being able to jump.
He's one of the greatest offensive rebounders of the last 20 years.
And they have not had. Go back and look at just statistics on the Celtics. Under Brad, they've been one of the worst rebounding teams. Period. But offensive rebounding, what is that?
Well, Doc doesn't believe in offensive. Doc sends everybody back.
I know that, and that goes back all the way back to Red Auerbach, believe it or not, who told Larry Bird one day, "Stop going after offensive rebounds." He's like, "Why? I'm really good." He goes, "Yeah, you're exhausted." He said, "How much weight have you lost?" And Bird's like, "Well, now that you mention it, about 8 pounds." He goes, "Stop going for offensive rebounds." So I understand that in theory, but second chance shots.
But he was a lot better at other things than his Kanter is.
Right. So if the energy you get, I always think like an offensive rebound's a lot like a block or a charge. Mm-hmm. It just invigorates your team. Yeah, but it just invigorates your team in ways that maybe other possessions.
It wins games too. I mean, in the Portland Thunder series, Enes Kanter changed, I want to say game 2 with his offensive rebound.
He totally did.
Changed the game with it.
So, I mean,
outplayed Steven Adams in every way.
But he's just not Al Horford. There's just no way around that.
But yeah, it's going to be a
massive Aaron Baines. So you've got Daniel Tice. You've got all these guys that you're going to have to fill in. So if I look for a weakness, can the Celtics be a top 10 defensive team again? I think it's a tall order for them with the front court they have as constituted.
I'm a little bullish on the Celtics though for a couple reasons. One, I actually think that come March, we're going to be floating Kemba's name in the MVP conversation. I just feel that. I feel like he's going to.
I think Kemba is going to win them a ton of.
And I think the Celtics are going to exceed expectations to a degree, and people are going to be looking at him, and he's going to be averaging 24, 25 mm-hmm. a night.
Sure.
There's going to be this goodwill of look at what he's doing versus what Kyrie. I think there's a chance Gordon Hayward could kind of rediscover this is
a
big year.
Now you've hit on the key of the whole thing.
Right. Jason Tatum, I know you don't do predictions, Brian, he's my pick for most improved player.
Tatum looked very good.
Danny Ainge's fruits of his labor could kind of be coming to fruition. And then plus I think Brad Stevens is going to get to coach again.
Yeah, this is a more coachable team.
Right.
I mean, but he's one of the best coaches in the NBA and he couldn't coach last year.
What I need to see from Tatum is the willingness to understand what's a good shot and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought after his second year in the league, he should have been better at that, at identifying what's a good shot, isn't. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the step back twos and the mid range twos that he took.
They look cool when they go in.
They look cool when they go in.
The Kobe system.
But they don't go in a lot. And he never got comfortable behind the three.
He needs to shoot more free throws.
He needs to, goes to the line where he needs to play off the dribble. So, and I think he's capable of doing it. He's a really talented kid. I don't discount the humanness of players, but by that I mean he became a new father. He had a new child that he's trying to raise in conjunction with the mom of the child, and they're not together. They're living in the same apartment complex with his mother. Like, it's so complicated, and I don't think it's perfect. And I do think young players are affected by things that happen off the floor. So I do
think old players too.
Right, and I do think there's an upside to that. And Jalen, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Jalen, because it'll come down to Jalen and Gordon Hayward. One of them is going to start and one of them isn't. Well, and neither one of them are going to like it.
Let me ask you
And
this.
How do they handle it?
Jalen is eligible for an extension. What would you do?
Well, I bet you Danny will wait. I don't know how long.
Well, they waited with Rozier.
They kind of generally wait. That's
They waited with Smart.
Yeah, that's sort of how they do it. And then they figure the market will bear it out.
Well, but the thing is, like, if you wait and he has a big year.
Well, I'm well aware.
And plus, I mean, the next class is not all that.
Well, I would just say it's
a thin free agency.
This is why
you could definitely see
Siakam. This is why Siakam's getting a max or near max.
Right.
The free agent class next summer is so weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you look around, you're like, what is Jaylen Brown, 24, 25?
24, I think.
Yeah.
He's young.
And you can project upside and say, well, this
guy.
Are you
going to give him a max?
No.
Oh, I was going to say.
I'm just saying, I mean, do you extend him right now or not? Because if he has a huge year this year and goes into, even if he's restricted.
Right.
There's going to be teams.
Yeah, but you match. You match.
Okay.
If he's restricted, you match. But no, it's a fair question. They tend to wait. They may feel differently about Jalen because they do believe in him. They do think he's, you know, he's a big part of the future, but I mean,
Tatum's the potential star.
Right, I mean, he's the one that can be.
And I think he has to be.
Yeah.
Speaking of Kyrie, obviously it was a home run summer for the Nets. It was a dream summer. But I'm a little worried about him. I think any team that has Kyrie is going to have their bad days.
Mm. That's a polite way to say that.
There's going to be moments where he's just a difficult guy.
They also have Kevin Durant, by the way.
They do, but they don't have him right now.
Right.
Well, and in terms of personality-wise, they both have some similar...
Mm-hmm. They both have some bad days.
But Kyrie usually behaves himself the first year. Just remember what he did year one in Boston. There was none of this talk that we had this year.
But, okay, and I guess I was going to say, and then did the last year in Cleveland, but I guess that there was a new... I wonder, though, if his new leaf, his turning over a new leaf, if that time is up. If you've done it twice, if they had this fizzle out that Brian can probably speak better to in Cleveland, and then it happens again in Boston. I mean, how many times do you get that brand new start over without there being any air of we should be careful here?
Well, I think he's already forfeited that. I think the Nets vetted him very carefully. I think they saw red flags and they went ahead anyway because he's so talented.
He is.
He's so talented, and you're adding Durant, and maybe the two of them, you know, join hands and get through it together.
Best case scenario, they're winning a championship in Brooklyn. I mean,
you take
that chance.
All the Boston fans that, like, good riddance to Kyrie. I'm like, okay, say goodbye to, like, a really, really talented
What's
player.
My thing? Like,
second team All-NBA.
I think Kemba will be great until they really need him to be great.
Well, we'll see.
And I think Kyrie always had – I think Kyrie's got a higher ceiling.
Of course he does. But Kyrie's also had injuries. Kemba's more healthy. And I'll say this. Brad is pretty creative with his small guards getting them open. Isaiah Thomas.
Well,
I'm telling you.
Brad's – anybody who wants to question Brad Stevens' coaching ability, I offer the Isaiah Thomas season.
Well, that's it. And so why would it be so hard for Kemba to get those shots if Isaiah Thomas, who's 4 inches shorter, can get them
up? I'm telling you, I saw it happen. Well, I've seen it happen before when he was in Charlotte, like against France when they absolutely had to have it. Kemba couldn't, although Kemba was dealing with a neck injury, but he couldn't do it. And I know that you can come back with, well, look, he has all these game winners. I'm aware of that, but
we'll see.
It's difficult. All right, so the Nets. They had to take DeAndre Jordan because he was a part of the package deal. I didn't like that signing at all.
Yeah. Especially if they start him.
I understand why they took him.
What are they doing?
I'm not blaming them for taking them. You had to give him a 4-year contract to get Kyrie and Kevin. Fine. Everybody's going to do that. No problem. I'm not criticizing them. I think it's going to cause a problem because they had a big guy there in Jared Allen, and that signifies the team. That team had a really good year last year and a step forward.
Huge step forward.
With those young guys all playing. And now some of those guys are going to get suppressed. Now, they did not have a championship-level team. I'm not saying that Sean Marks shouldn't have done this. I'm just saying I believe that they are going to pay a fee for this. I believe there's going to be an issue with the way because they brought in DeAndre Jordan, either with Jordan or with not playing Jared Allen, and the way they bring in Kyrie, I think is going to affect the other guards, as it affected the other guards in Boston. And their guard play last year was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there could be some rough waters for Brooklyn. I'm not saying that in 2 years from now it won't all be worth it. I'm not sure that I'm bullish on them.
They're basically taking a redshirt year. I mean, like, they should probably be a playoff team in the East. I wouldn't discount that whatsoever.
But
in terms of like what they want to be, they're essentially taking the year off. This is a push pause type of situation. And so I kind of wonder, Brian, like, what does that look like in February if they are 4 games over .500, 5 games?
I think they'll be better than that.
I don't know. I'm a little skeptical about it.
But if you're Caris LeVert and you're Spencer Dinwiddie, you can't afford to take a year off. So there has to be another continued development year for
right.
those players.
Well,
but you've taken away, I think I averaged it out, like, I think 4 of their 5 top rated defensive players are no longer on this team.
And they had a tangible identity to who they were last
they
year.
They were this the culture, young, scrappy, hungry, awe-defying team that was fun to
that
root
was a
for.
Hamilton reference you just made.
I know. And it was purposeful.
Scrappy.
Sorry. I meant to. I should
She's
have sung
She's a big
it.
Hamilton fan.
I'm a big
wait
Hamilton fan. That's another. There you go.
You got to wait for it, Nets.
Double Hamilton reference. I love this. Let's just make this the hoop Hamilton pot. But They when you add superstars with supersized egos to that equation, it completely can change the dynamic of a locker room. And this is a test that I don't think, Kenny Atkinson has done this a really great job with guys like D'Angelo Russell, who I think a lot of people
now not going to get my shot.
Yes.
Well done, Jackie.
How far can we take this?
Far, Ryan. Don't challenge me. But he's taken guys who have been quote-unquote challenge cases and have helped them and turned them around. But I think this is a different challenge. This is something that it's going to be an interesting experiment. How can you take...
You're being kind. I think Kenny Atkinson has one of the toughest jobs in the league.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny to me because like
an old school guy too. Don't be mistaken. He's an old school coach.
Yeah.
And the new school players, you know, it's tougher and tougher to be coached. And so when you're looking at the Kyries and you know, and then Kevin, I think he's going to have a hard time at some points this year because he is going to be sitting on the sidelines for an entire year watching his team play without him. And he's never been in that situation before. And that's tough. I can't imagine what that feels like. And I feel like that's going to cause some turbulence at some point
He's going to get a little ornery, I bet. Durant will. You take basketball away from that guy. And
understandably so. And I do agree that this is not going to be a smooth sailing year. And I don't know that it's, even if they do get that championship that makes it all worth it, I don't know that makes it a smooth sailing to a championship. It could be
justify the means type of thing, though.
Sure.
We got a little bit of time left. I want to talk about.
Great. We can sing Hamilton.
Two sleeper teams.
Oh, we always call them a sleeper team, the Indiana Pacers.
That's right.
Sleep, sleep, sleep. Don't sleep on the Pacers until they lose in the playoffs.
I like don't Pacers. Have Victor Oladipo until – I mean, Victor Oladipo is going to miss 40 games, and it's going to take him 20 games to
But the big question for them
get his legs under him.
Can Sabonis and Turner play together? That's what it's all about.
They have decided that –
Turner says no, definitively.
They have decided that they're going to play him together. That's like their move.
Because if not, they have to trade one. I mean, that's.
I think they're going to trade one.
I like Sabonis a lot.
I think Sabonis is fantastic.
It's a WCC Gonzaga University.
I think he's a
fantastic
player.
Well, let me. There's this another player who is extension eligible. How much do you extend Sabonis? What do you do with that one?
I really, I'm like, I like I voted him. For Sabonis I take six him. Man. I know mm-hmm. I was in the minority. The two Clipper guys got everybody's votes. I voted for him. The numbers suggest that he was that important to the Pacers. I really like him. I like his upside. I mean,
smart player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. smart player.
Takes Does good shots.
Takes good shots. Can rebound the ball.
Yeah, play multiple positions.
Yep. So they bring. He's like a prototypical today's NBA player. Whereas Miles Turner, look, he took steps forward last year, but not as many as I would have liked to have seen. And you know, my friend Kirk Goldsberry, who's really, really smart, just told me he thinks that big men will be phased out of the NBA in 6 years or less.
Oh, boy.
Well, how about that?
Phased out.
Yeah. I need a definition of phased out.
That's a very
thing. Like, is the league going to get shorter, or is it just...
Or just that skill set of the traditional big?
Traditional low post. I mean, we're watching it happen day after day after day.
6 years, huh?
Well,
six, give or
it's funny. Sometimes I feel the other way. I feel like there's going to be a renaissance of it. That's a discussion for another time. But.
Yeah, so
as a former post person, I would love
Malika was right. I think Oladipo's health is everything for them.
Well, when need to be careful
when he's
and
playing.
Mm-hmm.
He's that rare talent that can play both ends of the floor. Has great leadership. He's got to be for them. And you know, if you look at their team. Assuming that it's a big assumption because it's a terrible injury. Assuming that Oladipo can get back to the all-star that he was, it's a very formidable team. And especially if you figure, okay, at some point they might be able to make a trade with Sabonis or with Turner. More likely Sabonis, I think, has more value. But they may decide to keep him. But that's the decision that they made. They let Thaddeus Young walk.
Mm-hmm.
And,
they took Brogdon in, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost Bojan Bogdanović,
which is a big loss.
That was big. Especially their offensive production.
At times, he was their best player last year, even with Oladipo on the team. He played
another two-way guy
beautifully.
But very good coaching, very prudent, savvy front office work. They're just never going to be able to spend a lot of money, but they're always able to get some good teams. So I think. I think they can say, under the right circumstances, they could win the East. I don't think they're the favorite, obviously, but they could win the East.
You think they could win the East?
This year?
Under certain circumstances, I think that they
Very certain circumstances.
I mean, I don't think
Han's looking at me like I'm not sure.
The other thing
crazy.
About them is they turned over so much of their team. I'm always a little wary of the wholesale changes. And by the way, that includes the Nets. They wholesale changes. I mean, I understand why both teams did it, but it takes a little while when you remove that many people. I mean, we talked about this all last year. I felt like almost everybody in their lineup was a potential free agent.
Well, I think you look at it this way. The Raptors, we'll talk about real quick right here at the end, but the Raptors were the East champs, have been decimated. The Celtics are not the same team. We'll see. The Nets are not going to be there yet. The Bucks are there, but they're a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and you have to assume health. So we'll see. And Philly, again, major changes to that roster. We'll see.
They used to be fun. It'll be fun.
As far as Toronto goes, I still think they are going to be a tough out. You know, Siakam's role will increase.
I think
what will happen with that roster is they will see how the first 2.5 months go and they'll make a decision. Because
they have Gasol and
Kyle Lowry are both on last year of their contracts. Right. And I'm not sure what their value is.
Right.
Masai could hit the eject button.
But they have that
parachuting.
They have that layer of young guys. Siakam, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby.
Yeah, who really is a wild card for them.
Right.
He
struggled with injuries.
He might be their quote-unquote free agent sign just because he didn't play all last year. Right. And now you add him in the mix and they're really excited about him.
Yeah, so they could... If they don't like the way things are going, that said, I still think you have to pay attention to them.
Oh, I like Toronto.
Oh, and that's
well coached. Nick Nurse is a really good coach, and you know they're the champions. They're going to have something to prove. Gasol will be interesting to me. I do think you ask what his value could be at the trade deadline. If people saw what he did in last year's finals, I think you know there's always a place for a guy like that when you're coming down the stretch and you're trying to win a championship.
Yeah, I just don't know what you can get for him, but
yeah.
Real quick, I'm going to be watching the Atlanta Hawks this year because I think they are a...
Me too,
John
Brian.
Collins.
You might be surprised, but I'm going to watch a few of their games.
What? You?
Me. I'm going to watch...
Trey Young, John Collins.
I was thinking of other players.
You're like Captain Trey.
I'm really a Kevin Herter guy. Like, I mean, I just really...
They made kind of a...
I'm a John Collins.
Big belief in DeAndre...
He's fun.
They know what they're doing.
But that's the thing about the Eastern Conference this year. It's like, all right, I think there's a pretty general consensus. The Bucks and Philly are going to be up
there. Yeah, but 6, 7, 8?
I'm talking 2 through 8. Oh, okay. I don't know what I don't know. Boston could be 3. Boston could be 7. Mm-hmm. And
I will say this. Miami plays a lot of close games.
Orlando.
And they end up being 500.
Orlando was a playoff
Miami's
team.
Like 500 every year.
And they got Jimmy Butler, man.
And now they're adding Jimmy Butler. You want to go from 500 to 50 wins? Yeah. Add Jimmy Butler.
But a team like Atlanta, I mean, you either make the jump or you don't. And like they're a team that, and that jump has to come eventually. And this could be the year that they win
also,
44 games.
I don't think the Bulls are going to be awful this year. Malika.
Travis Schlenk is a really smart guy.
I like Wendell Carter a lot. I don't want to get into, we don't need to get into the Bulls weeds here, but the Bulls, you know, they are a team that could make the playoffs as a seven.
I think Lauri Markkanen's a really good player.
Tomas Satoransky was one of the most impressive players in China. All right.
Wendell Carter says we have to go.
We're highly influenced by your trip.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's going to win MVP.
We should count. We should have made a like some sort of game out of how many times Brian said China.
Well, you just talked about him nonstop.
I wanted to do it a lot.
Hamilton reference.
No. All right. Thanks for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Thank you to Royce Young, Malika Andrews, and Jackie McMullen. Have a good day.